discovering inner harmony. Now, when I spoke last week, just before I ended the sharing, I asked John and Jenny Soper just to share a little testimony of how in their prayer ministry of the Holy Spirit to people who were coming to be healed for certain wounds and areas of conflict in their life, they had come together to pray, and John and Jenny were part of the team that would stand with different ones and just welcome the Holy Spirit into the situation. And he said to us last week, and Jenny confirmed, that it was a transformation in that lady's life. That was the work of the Holy Spirit working within that woman who had been in turmoil, in grief, and all kinds of situations unresolved. And supernaturally, the Holy Spirit set her free. And that's a beautiful testimony, really, of what is happening in each one of us. The Holy Spirit is at work in all our lives. But when we focus in like that, when we pay attention and honour Him, honour God and the work of the Holy Spirit, we are actually flowing with His work in our lives. All kinds of things can happen. It can be a release of so much accumulation of pain. And that's a healing. And that's like salvation. That's being set free from the tentacles that the world would try and bring upon our soul. So when I speak about discovering inner harmony this morning, I'm going to be talking about the struggle between the spirit and the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says that the flesh, which is this mindset of separation from God, and the spirit are adversary. One desire conflicts with the other. And it says the spirit is desiring against the flesh, which is this sense of to be independent, to have our I am for ourselves, to forge our own way in life, to do our battle against the things of the world our own way. And that is there. That is there inherent in all humanity. Because we're of a lower order of God. In the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there's not even a thought of separation, of being independent. They are one. And we are one with them. But we're still having worked through us. We're having something happening by the Holy Spirit to separate us from that independence, that separation. And the Holy Spirit means it. And He's working in everybody on the planet. The Holy Spirit has been sent into the world, it says in John 16, to convince the world, not just the church, of sin, missing the mark, of unrighteousness, so that we can have a harmony with Him and of judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged. So we have a place to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to see that work being done. Now, our spirit is designed to be in harmony with God's spirit. That's the inner harmony. That's as simple as that. That's the way we've been created. But our flesh gets drawn into a mindset of separation, which brings conflict. If we see ourselves as vessels containing water, water of the spirit, and oil, which is the flesh, if you saw two jars of water or a jar of water, you would see oil sitting on the top, wanting to be the soul expression of who we are. That's us, the soul expression, S-O-L-E and S-O-U-L. And to organise our independent responses to life in this world. That's what you'd see. So I'm going to show you a couple of people, a couple of jars. Here we've got the oil on top, wanting to express itself as our separated self. We have the water underneath. And that's the way we actually present ourselves in the world. And I call this fellow, say this is Tom and this is Jerry. Now Jerry here, you'll notice, has got a few things unresolved. He's been through a bit. There's the water, it's a bit murky, and the oil, it's a bit lighter, but it's because I've given Jerry a hard time the last couple of days. I've been letting him just get in connection with the world, all shook up, which is the way we usually live our lives, in confusion. But after a while, if God can get us to sit still enough, there is a separation. We don't owe the flesh anything. We spoke last week about the emotional and mental attachments to the things of this world that drive us to have to analyze and solve our own problems our way, getting emotionally entangled with things. And we saw how the Lord wants us to be drawn away from that into a place of renewal in the Spirit. Now, the Bible tells us we don't owe the flesh anything. Romans chapter 8. We are not debtors to the flesh to please that. So what happens is upsets occur in our lives. We'll agree with that, all right? And the flesh, the independent little I am, reacts to life in conflict with the movement of the Spirit's I am. If we are in reaction, trying to sort things out our way of getting an advantage over the things of the world, or feeling that we are being oppressed by the things of the world and hiding from facing up to the things of the world. All of these things are against, they're in conflict with the movement of the Holy Spirit, who's saying, I can lift you above those things. You don't have to get into conflict and try and conquer the things of the world. I have done that. But when you are with me, I will lift you above those things. I have overcome that emotional and mental attachment to having to do things the world's way. That's why Jesus had to come and live in the flesh, experience what it was like to be tempted and tested, to be engaged and entangled with the way the world does things, and he had to find and know that he was with the Father and was above those things. So this upset is actually a setup. It's a setup for us to be aware of the unsettled state that we can find ourselves in. Now, that can be happening. This can be happening, and we think,
Oh, this is normal. It's not normal. That's being upset. That's trying to sort things out our way. And that's, if we don't know that we have the Spirit moving within us to separate that out, we are being set up actually by God to say, this is now an awareness. This upset is not just a matter of everything changing and becoming beautiful out there in the world and the world doing you favours. No, it's not going to do that. That's a wrong expectation. This upset is a signal for you to be still so that we can see who's really there. And that's a process. Now, I haven't got to the end of the process yet.
But that's the first part of the process. Is to be aware of the unsettled state we're in, which needs to be settled. Our minds and our emotions are programmed from birth to either react or respond to personally unique triggers. We all react differently to the things that happen to us in life. Some people, if you make a face at them, they're off their game for 2 or 3 days. Somebody else might just laugh. If a person is called a name, they can be wretchedly in pain. And cruel things are done, even as kiddies, from one to the other. And people associate those hurtful things that have happened to them, and it can stick with them. Another person can brush something off. They've got another kind of trigger. Doesn't matter how many faces you make at them. Doesn't matter what you call them. As long as you don't take anything from them, they're fine. You don't have to be nice to me, just don't take my stuff. You know, some people have got different triggers. But everybody gets upset. And they're kind of emotional signatures. And remember last week I said there are messengers. You come into a situation and you find that it causes a stirring, a reaction. You think, this shouldn't be happening. God says, oh yes, that's a message. That's a messenger to you to show you that you're in reaction. I don't want you living in reaction. I want you living in responding to me in the midst of every situation and finding a settled peace and seeing me there with you. So it's a choice. We get the message, we either shake the jar again or let it become still. I mean, most people are getting up of a morning and before they even get to work, driving to work in the traffic, the jar is pretty well shaken. There's reaction everywhere. By the time they get into work, it's not just the drivers on the road that they're against, it's the people in the office and just about the whole world. Then it's the day has begun. Okay, so the oil is that veil, the separated veil.
See? The water is the pure, eternally created you and me, created before the foundation of the world, innocent and blameless, joined to God. That's the real you. That's the you that the Bible says you are. The Bible says in James, the Genesis you, the original you. But we have that veil that separates the things that are happening, the outside world, from this real us engaging it. See, people, humanity, we live by seeing what we look at as the reality of what's happening. Our life is based upon, I see that, that's really happening. So I've got to deal with that. And God says, no, you're seeing something that you're projecting your past experience onto, your fear for the future, your insecurity. It's triggering you to get revenge or get into reaction or assert that thing that has to be done. No, no. That is an unreal world you're entering into. What is really happening is I am with you and I am going to guide you through this. I'm going to let you find partnership with me in this situation, and instead of you just engaging in it with your reaction, we will engage with this in harmony together. And instead of saying that thing, you'll be silent. You'll find rest for yourself.
So the oil is the separation mindset or the veil that interacts with our mind and emotions, and it causes layers, self-protective, competitive reactions we have used all our lives to survive our pain and grief and to drive ourselves forward in this life. And when we heard what John and Jenny shared at the end of last week, he was a dear lady that came and was released from that because the movement of the Holy Spirit, the water of life, rushed through.
So I'll get to the, I might as well get to a bit of the ending of this before I get too much further in. If Jerry sits here for a while, still, and if Jerry starts to look like Tom, who is more water in the bottom of the jar, how about if by calling on the Lord and sitting and letting the Holy Spirit well up within us, as Jesus said, there will be a spring of living water welling up within you. Do you know what would happen? I could do it now, but I don't want to make a mess. If I poured water in on top of that, the oil would come to the top and flow off. The separation would start to disappear. But I can't do it with Jerry at the moment because he'd be throwing out the baby with the bathwater. There has to be some separation happening. But it doesn't matter. He's a bit mixed up, Jerry. But where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. I've seen people like that shaken to pieces and in a situation where there is attention and focused prayer calling upon the Holy Spirit, there is a gusher of the spring of life, of water. And people are set free and released. The Holy Spirit is always moving
to undo the work of the separation. So, through childhood and onwards, we accumulate the separation junk material, going on our little marches of protest, making demands for this thing or that thing, carving out our personal, I am my way. So we all do have an I am. Now, an I am is simply our idea of who we are. So that's who I am. We usually we think of our past, we organise what we've done, what we haven't done, what we've achieved, we haven't achieved, what other people have thought of us, and we come up with this kind of definition of that's who I am. But no, sorry, that's not really who you are. That's who you think you are, and that's the way you actually start to project outwards, because that I am has got a whole lot of defence mechanisms and ready reactions ready to go. But the real I am is with you, deep down in your spirit with God. It's the same person, same personality, same gift, same talent, same everything, same sense of humour, but somehow it is coming from the source of life and love and oneness, the real I am. So our I am, your I am and my I am, that's our identity. That's like, boy, we better guard this, don't you touch, that's me. And that is being provoked relentlessly in life. Can't do that to me. Don't you know who I am? No. Don't know who you are. We expect people to know exactly who we think or what we think of ourselves, but they don't know us. There isn't a connection with people in the world, unfortunately. There is a connection. I mean, we're all one spirit after all. We come from God. It says that in Acts chapter 17. We're all one blood, one flesh. But we're disconnected because of our different I ams. And we make that a separation. And we defend this idea of who we are and what we deserve, what we expect, etc., etc., etc. Now, the devil comes and likes to challenge your I am. The big test with Jesus was Satan challenging Jesus' I am in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. And the devil comes up to Jesus and he says, if you are, that is, if your I am is the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. You see, what you get tempted for in your I am is to demonstrate and to prove that your I am is. Oh, I'll show you. The trouble is the old wrong I am gets out in front there and has to prove to the rest of the world who I am is and comes into some dreadful shocks. And that's a setup. God says, well, you've got to realise that. Your I am that you think you am is not who you am. So the devil comes up to Jesus and he says, if your I am is the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. In other words, do something, prove it. That's the big temptation. Jesus simply said, my bread is another kind of bread. I live by every word that comes from my Father. Man doesn't live by bread alone. This is how you live. And he just put the accuser in his place. I know who I am. I don't have to do something to prove it. I don't have to do a miracle. I don't have to do what you expect me to do to defend an I am that is quite secure, thank you, Satan. Now Satan then says, well, jump off the temple. Come on, we'll go up to the temple and see if the angels will pick you up. And Jesus then decided to put the devil in his place. Then he says, don't you tempt the Lord your God. The I am. And that's a good way to respond to that kind of shaking up and having to prove yourself. Just say, hang on, accuser, accuser, get off my turf. I am the Lord of one. I know where I come from. I know who I really am in Christ. I know my life is hidden there. But I'm not going to let this veil get in the way. I'm not going to start reacting and shake it all up and then have to wait for it all to settle down again. But the fact is we do. We do get upset, don't we? Yeah, we do. We get shook up. The important thing is to know that you can settle. And you can also know that that is going to be skimmed off the top. The water is our innocent Genesis self that waits to be discovered in our heart where Christ lives with us by faith. The hidden treasure. The true I am. That's you, that's me. But you've got to get through the stuff. In fact, it's not a matter of fighting against the stuff. The Holy Spirit's done that. He's separating out. The thing is to go down, to plunge down into your heart where
Jesus dwells with you in your heart. Get out of your head and your emotions and your feelings and your analysis of what's going wrong, what you're going to do to fix it. Get down into where he is and you'll find it's another world. It's another world.
I was talking to a friend last night, actually. He used to do athletics at school and things like that. We were talking about the different athletic things we did. And he said, did you do much swimming? I said, yeah, did swimming. We all did swimming. But I said, the one thing I liked most of all was diving. I used to love diving. And we were talking about this particular experience, really, about plunging into who we really are in our hearts. And I said, I only just bring to mind right now, this brings up a memory. When I would dive, I would be hearing noise everywhere, and the last thing I remember hearing before I hit the water was boing, 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 that springboard noise, you know, bounce, bounce. And then I'd hit the water, and I said, I'd always be so aware of the acute silence and stillness under the water. And I would just go, boom, and I'd go down and I'd think, I'm not in any hurry to get up out of here. You don't hear a thing, you're just there. And it's quiet, and it's still. If you pop up to the surface, ha, da, 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 it's all going on again. But it's like you get down into the depth of God where you are, and it's still, and it's quiet. The ever-vigilant Holy Spirit is always prompting us in this space to enable us to respond to him in life's challenges rather than react to what's happening. Our agitated mind will prefer to analyse and judge and blame whatever it can, including ourselves, and that's a lot of the time. It gets jammed, bound up, entangled. So we must learn to let go. Let go. So how do I let go? You let go by letting go. Oh no, but I've got to think about this, I've got to work this all out. Just let go. We either choose to bear the imprint of an independent mindset that was first experienced by Adam and Eve because they got into this stuff in their heads. They began to argue with the devil and the accuser, didn't know who their I am was, and he said, you're missing out, God's dudding you, he's going to cheat you. And so they then disobeyed God, got into trouble, got all mixed up and didn't know who they were. They lost a sense of identity. Now we bear the imprint of that. But in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 it says, after you believed, after you understood this new covenant, you joined with God, you were imprinted with the Holy Spirit. You were sealed. The seal is the imprint. So we've got two imprints on us. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49, and as we have borne the image or the imprint of the earthly, we shall also bear the image, same word, imprint of the heavenly. We've got the both imprints. But we don't vote for the wrong imprint. The one that can't trust God, the one that says it's all unfair. And God says, no, listen, I'm setting you up. I'm wanting you to be lifted above it. It's here to help you transcend it, to get above it. You're in harmony with me. That's the new imprint. It's the seal of the Holy Spirit. It's a foretaste. One day, this veil won't be there anymore, but it's going to be there until you die. There's no veil in heaven, but right now, you can behold me as through the veil, and the veil will disappear, and you'll see me. You'll be separated unto me. So the process then begins. And this is what sanctification is. You think sanctification is trying to be holy? Say more prayers? Go to more church services? You know, just repeat more scriptures or whatever? I mean, look, a holy person can do all of that. The word holy, hagios, well, the word sanctification, same word, hagios, means to be separated. It means to be set apart. And the work of sanctification is to separate the spirit movement from the flesh reaction. That is sanctification. And you don't do sanctification. The Holy Spirit does sanctification. Jesus does sanctification. We let it happen. And you sit. The process of separation occurs by being still and knowing God in both structured and incidental time. Now, I've got to move along here. We're still and we separate into the sanctifying presence eternally residing in our heart. Let me read a scripture, Hebrews 2:10. It was fitting for him, that's Jesus, for whom all whom are all things and through whom are all things in bringing many sons to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through pain and suffering. So that's the Father bringing his Son, the author of the salvation, through pain and suffering. He had the, as it says, the hostility of flesh, contradicting himself, other people, situations. But he knew who he was. For both he who sanctifies, that's Jesus, and those who are being sanctified are all of one origin. See, he had to bear the earthly and the heavenly, for which reason he's not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to take upon himself the sins of all people, for because he himself has suffered when tried and tested, he's able to help those also who are being tried and tested. That's he that sanctifies and those who are being sanctified. That's the work. He separates us into that place. That's all sanctification. Well, I might say it's all sanctification is, but that is what sanctification means. There's a whole lot of things that happen when you're getting sanctified. You get more and more in tune and in harmony with God, but it's a process of separation. Now, faith enables this well to be springing up as we sit in the sanctifying presence of God. But there's often a murky, painful reservoir sitting there. And as was testified last week, when that dear lady was prayed for, there was turmoil and upset in her life. And there was a transformation that just went. The movement of the Holy Spirit took it. The imprinting of pain and sorrow is a felt reality. When you sit with God, and I've encouraged you so many times to do this, there can come a sense of strange feelings, pain, distress. You think, oh, I'm going to stop doing this. No, don't stop. That's the suffering. That's unresolved stuff rising to the top. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. The water that I give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. But the imprinting of pain and sorrow that's on every one of us is a felt reality, and it was in Jesus. He had to suffer. We just read that. But it's erased by the imprinting of divine love, the greater reality. So now I'm going to talk to you about the presence prayer. So whether you're sitting alone or with somebody else or you're being guided in prayer, the thing is to know that the Holy Spirit is at work inside of you. Not a matter of saying, Holy Spirit, if you're up there somewhere, no. The Holy Spirit is within you. You're saying, I'm sitting and I'm allowing you, like the well, to begin to spring up. I'm allowing that to happen. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we with an unveiled face, that is we see through that murky stuff. Behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. And we're being changed into that same image by the power of the Spirit of God. Wow, this is actually happening. The veil's disappearing. But what's going on? What's all this feeling? Well, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's what intercession is.
I've kind of contemplated what is intercession for probably 34 years. And I've felt something like the stirring of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, well, this is for somebody. Sometimes I don't know who it is, but yes, there is something, because you have somebody on your heart, and you know you're joined in one spirit, etc., and you can get this moving of the Spirit. Then I realized, as time went on, certain of these intercessions were intercession for myself. Was the Holy Spirit struggling to bring something to the surface, to resolve it and skim it off the top and bring me freedom? You can't set a time limit on it. I can say, well, sit for 5 minutes and you'll get three things happen. It may not be like that. You may sit and just feel the beautiful presence of the Lord, but there are times when you sit and there's something unresolved. Sit with it. Sit with it. With He, with His groanings that cannot be uttered, coming to our assistance, sanctifying us. A lot of people are scared of that. I don't want that.
That's just me feeling bad. No, that is facing the work of separation. What Tinnick and I do every morning is we sit and we just give ourselves an allotted time. But if there are things that we feel need to wait for, well, then we can revisit that, go about what has to be done, or sit there for a little while longer, or wait till another time in the day, or the next day. Because it's not going to go away. It's going to get resolved. It's going to come back. But the beautiful thing is God takes them. So I say this little prayer. Now, look, I'm just going to just give you this, because I find that there are certain things that you can do that actually help you to focus and have attention. I breathe in and say, I am now. The I am. I am now. And when I breathe out, I say, with you. No, I am now with you. Or, I am now here with you. The point is, I like to locate myself. I like to know who I am. That is, I am. And I like to know when, now. And I like to know with whom. With you, that is Lord, and I like to know where He is. So when I breathe in, I just say, I am now here with you. Now, I found that if I say that a few times and just gently breathe, it's not like trying to do yoga or anything, it's just a matter of you're actually starting to give attention. God is really looking for two things. He's looking for attention, but He's also looking for intention. What do you want? I want to be close to you, Lord. I want to be sanctified. I want to be separated unto you. I want to be healed. I want to be released. Lord, just, it's only you can do it. I don't want to get into my head and psychoanalyze myself. I don't want to think of how can I go back in the history and work out when that happened. Forget about it. It's there and it's going to go and you're here and the well's rising. I am now here with you. And you know what happens? It's not like it's just me sitting there saying, I am now, like some man here with you. This is real. This is a full-on confrontation, encounter, conversation, face-to-face, as far as you can in this world, which means you see nothing, but you know something.
And you know what happens? It turns into not just you saying, I am now here with you. I get an echo back. But it's woo. And that's the Lord saying, I am now here with you. I say, is that you, Lord? Yeah. Say it again. I am now here with you. I don't know how much just breathe out. You don't do any tricks. Just breathe in, breathe out. Here with you. And then sometimes I change it. If I get into this place of stillness where I actually do, that is who I am. I'm actually, I'm not. I know I'm here with you now, Lord. I know I am. I don't have to feel anything. It's just that this is like diving in under the water. This is where I am. Okay. Doesn't matter what sounds are going on out there, I'm underwater. I'm now here with you. I then change it to, I am now here for you. I think, oh, I meant that. And then what I hear back from him is, I am now here for you. I say, let's stay here. So I'm saying, don't put a time limit on this. But dive in.
Cast your cares upon him. It's the transaction of Holy Spirit within you. He's healing us. He's sanctifying us. We don't try and control or suppress the painful feelings we've got. We sit. Because God wants to carry them away. He's decluttering the room of the door he's knocking on. Remember that last week? I stand at the door and knock, but there's too much junk in there. He gets rid of the furniture and he's there. Just letting in. The handle's on the inside of the door. That's right. Cast your cares and anxieties, that's what the word means, on him, because he cares for you. Just finish with this. You know what it means? That he cares for you. The word isn't now, which means it matters. It matters. You think, does this matter to anybody? Because as you cast upon me, it matters to me. Do you know what happens when you actually know that it matters for God? The strange transformation is that you can say, well, now it doesn't matter. Thank you, Lord. It doesn't matter. Once you know that it matters for God and he feels it more than you do, it doesn't have to matter anymore. We're free. Thank you, Lord, for giving us freedom. Thank you for sanctifying grace that allows us to be separated unto you from the things of this world that would try and trap our souls, our minds and hearts into illusions, into struggles, to unnecessary sufferings. Because you are the healer. And